It's a tremendous privilege for me to be able to fill this pulpit. You know, I used to just think this was just a piece of furniture, just a place where people came and talked, but it's really pretty holy because this is where the Word of God comes forth. And I had the opportunity to fill this pulpit after our pastor, Dan Shieldus, who is the best pastor I've ever known in my life and the best shepherd I've ever known. So it's a real privilege to, and by the way, for those of you who don't know, this pulpit was not purchased at a pulpit store. Craig Morris made this pulpit. He made the cross too. Beautiful piece of work, isn't it? Beautiful. I have one announcement I'd like to make. The greatest man that I know turned 92 years old yesterday, my grandfather, Bill Williams. I mean, my father. His grandchildren are here and his children are here, so there's three generations of Williams with us today. So it's a rich thing to have him with us today. I'm going to talk about the joy of the Lord this morning. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to read the 9th and 10th verses. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." It was real interesting. This story, just real quickly, was about the rebuilding of the wall. Nehemiah and the Jews were in captivity, basically. And he got permission from the king to go rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. Also, the people had not heard the word of God for years and years and years, and they hadn't been walking with the Lord. So all of a sudden, they heard the word of the Lord, and they were deeply convicted. They started weeping and wailing because they realized how far off base they were. But Nehemiah said, "Wait, don't weep, don't cry. Go and celebrate, enjoy your life, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, you know, we talk about joy of the Lord and joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. How many people know that? Happiness is very circumstantial. Joy is something that comes from God, and it's supernatural, and it overshadows the circumstances that we have. I need in my life, and I have experienced over the last few years, a supernatural strength. Not a natural strength. Not because I've got a strong mind, because I'm weak-minded. It's because there was a supernatural strength in my life. And I experienced joy in my life in spite of my circumstances. You know, there's a lot of Christians that you can hear preach today. A lot of pastors, preachers, that say if you do everything right, then you're going to live a trouble-free life. If you believe the Word of God and you walk by faith and you say the right things, then you're going to be blessed and you won't have any problems in your life. And that's been going on for a long, long time. We've been hearing that message for the last 30, 40 years. But the older you get, the more you are aware that that's not working in your life right. You start experiencing more problems. And it depends on where you are in your journey. When you're in your teens, in your 20s, you have problems. I mean, Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "In this life you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome this world." Now, it's interesting, the Message translation says, let's see, it says, "If you will, in this world, you will continue to suffer difficulties." So it's part of the world. I mean, you're going to have pain in different areas of your life. You're going to have financial problems at some time in your life. And how do you have joy when you lose a job? How do you have joy in your life when you are living paycheck to paycheck? Or you're on such a budget that you just barely can pay for your groceries? Some of you may have never experienced that, and some of you may be experiencing that right now. Maybe you have stretching a dollar as far as it will go. How do you have joy in the middle of that? How do you have peace in the middle of that kind of problems? There are other problems in life. You have problems with relationships, marital problems. I know none of you who are married have ever had any problems in your marriage because you're spiritual. But we have problems in our marriages sometime. How can we have joy in the middle of these problems? This is part of life. We're going to have these things. What about at work? You have problems at work sometimes with your children. You ever had problems with your children, not know where to turn, and you've been just so upset? What do you do? Because in this world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have very difficult times. There are going to be problems in this world. And then we come to one of the hardest things to face that many of us here in this congregation and you have had to face, and that's the loss of a loved one. That's hard. That's very difficult. I have both of my parents still to this day, and I'm extremely blessed. So I haven't had to walk through that. But many of you have. You've lost spouse, you've lost children, and you've had to go through that very difficult, difficult time. Why? Why do we have to go through this stuff? If it's a loving God, why do we have to go through all this stuff in our lives? It just doesn't make sense. Well, you go, and people question that. You can hear, if God is such a loving God, why is there war? Why are children dying? If God is such a loving God, why are these atrocities all over the world taking place? Why are Christians being murdered? Why are they being killed for no reason? Because in this world, you will have tribulation. In Genesis 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, He said, after He created the heavens and the earth, He said, it is good. Then He created the animals and the birds and the fish. And all of His creation, He created vegetation, food to eat, and He said, it is good. Then He created mankind. In His image, He created Adam and Eve. And He said, it is very good. Now, when God says something is very good, I don't think you can get much more clear than that on how perfect that was. There was no sin. There was no destruction. There was no decay. There was no death in the world at that time. There were no tribulations. There were no problems. But then we all know what happened. Adam rebelled against God, and he could do anything he wanted to. But there was one thing God said, do not do. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam broke that covenant with God, and something happened on the earth that day. At that day, destruction and decay and death came barreling into this world. It split wide open this creation and brought destruction and brought problems and brought death. And that's why we have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. In Habakkuk, the third chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, and I'm going to read this. And Habakkuk was complaining to God about all the problems, about how the people of God were not walking with Him, and then how because all of a sudden He's using these ungodly heathens to punish the people of God. Why would God do that? And Habakkuk is complaining to God. But after he complains to God, after he prays, he gets his mind straight. And he says this, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, I don't have anything left. I don't have a roof over my head. I don't have income coming in. I don't have insurance. I don't have a car anymore. I don't have anything. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Where did his joy come from? Where was his joy in? It was in God. So there's something about this relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that produces joy in our lives. So that's why Jesus said, I have overcome this world. Now, Dan put a scripture this morning and he read it, and he didn't know that that's one of the main scriptures that I'm using today. He had no idea. But he prayed and he sought the Lord and he felt like that was the scripture he was supposed to use. And it's one of the main scriptures that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the joy of the Lord and how we walk in that. First of all, do you remember in James, the first chapter, when he says, count it all joy, brothers, when you fall into various trials and temptation? Man, you think, how in the world am I going to count it joy? Have you ever been sick and just couldn't even think about counting it joy? How can you do that? Well, because in those places of need, when we're going through severe problems, tribulations, trials, sickness, lack, heartache, that pushes us to Jesus because we don't have anywhere else to turn. Those problems are like a funnel. You try to take a pitcher and pour it into a Coke bottle, you're going to get liquid all over the place. But if you take a funnel and you pour it through that funnel, it forces all that liquid into one place and it fills that Coca-Cola bottle. That's what problems and trials do in our lives. They push us to God. They bring us into a tight place where we have nowhere else to turn except to turn to God. A lot of times in our lives we get busy with work and everything is going good and we don't have to turn to God. But when you have nowhere else to turn, then all of a sudden your relationship with Him deepens and your trust with Him deepens. And He reveals to you His tremendous love for you on a very personal basis. Romans 8:35, Paul the Apostle said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation? Can death? Can angels? Can persecutions? Can demons? No. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing in creation that can separate us from God's love. Now, this is the God that created the heavens and the earth and the galaxies that are millions of light years away, and nothing can separate you from Him. Nothing at all. So, should we be able to take joy in that? Should that produce something in us? And you may say, but Les, I do not feel like a conqueror. I don't feel like more than a conqueror. Where does joy come from? In Galatians, the 5th chapter, it talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And He produces things within your life. Now, it's up to you. Sometimes you don't let Him produce it. Sometimes we don't let Him do His work. Anybody know that? Sometimes we try to do the work ourselves. But he wants to produce fruit in our lives. And part of that fruit is joy. One of the many aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the joy of the Lord. And if you have been born again, if you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you believe he is the Savior of the world, if you believe he is the one and only Son of God that died and was resurrected from the dead and lives forever at the right hand of God, if you believe that, then you have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you that can produce joy within your life. It's available for every one of us. Do we have to work hard to get it? No. There's nothing that you can do. You can't pray enough. You can't study enough, you can't fast enough to produce something that's produced by God, not by you. That comes from God. You know the story of Paul and Silas when they got thrown into jail? It says that they were beat with rods. And a lot of times we read it, they were beaten with rods and thrown in jail, and about midnight they started singing. And I thought about that for a minute. And I thought, okay, what is a rod? What are they beating them with? I don't think they were little sticks. I think it was a rod, you know, like a clothes are hung on, one of those rods in your closet that's about that big around. Even if it wasn't that big around, let's say it was that big around and it was wood. And it didn't break when they were hit. And they were beat with these things. What do you think they looked like? Do you think there was any physical damage? Do you think they were bleeding? Open wounds? Face swollen? Broken ribs, possibly? And they were thrown into prison. And what were they doing? At midnight, they were singing. Where did that come from? That didn't come from them being devout. That didn't come from them being the most holy men in all of the land. It came from the Holy Spirit that lived within them. And as they sang, an earthquake happened. The gates of the prison doors opened up. And the poor guard thought that they had escaped and he was about to kill himself. And Paul said, no, don't kill yourself. And the guard got saved because of the joy of the Lord in their lives. In a difficult, difficult situation, he couldn't even imagine that they were still in prison. Who in their right mind would be in prison? Who in their right mind would be singing with joy after you've been beat to a pulp? Nobody. It's because we're out of this world. We're of another world. We don't have to be in our right mind. I know a lot of you. Something happened to me between 4 and 5 years ago that most everybody here is aware of. I was having a problem about every 90 days. I would get sick, man. My energy level was gone. I would run a high fever. I didn't know what was wrong. I'd take aspirin and everything else. So finally we went to the doctor, and one of these times he put me in the hospital. And he ran all kinds of tests. And in fact, he said, I could run $100,000 worth of tests on you, but I think it's just a bug. And so I went home, and I got better. And about 3 months later, it hit me again. And they put me back in the hospital. This happened at least 3 times. And the last time, they sent me home, and I didn't get better. And I was sitting in my chair, and I got just worse and worse, running a high fever. And then I developed during that time night sweat so bad that we had to put towels down on the bed because I would soak the towels sweating so bad at night. And I started getting the shakes, the chills, where I would shiver like this. And so Cindy said, you're going to the emergency room. The only problem was, at that time, By then, I couldn't walk. I'd lost my ability to walk. I was so weak. So she loaded me in the vehicle and drove me up to Conroe Regional, and they put me in the emergency room. They put me in the hospital, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And finally, Cindy said, enough is enough. I'm taking you to downtown to one of the hospitals downtown. And we got a referral, and she took me to the Methodist Hospital. And I kept getting worse. In fact, I was shaking in the bed so hard, the bed was shaking. You could hear it rattling because of I was that cold. I was freezing. My brother flew in from Virginia to be with me. And a lot of Dan came up there. Stephen came up there. You guys started praying for me. But I was sick. I was extremely sick. I fell down a couple of times because my legs wouldn't hold me up anymore. And my brother said I was 24 hours away from death. I was almost dead. And they decided they were going to take my spleen out because my spleen was poisoning the rest of my system. But just before they did, a hematologist ran some tests on me. And it came back, and she found that I was in fourth stage of lymphoma. And she immediately started on chemotherapy. During that time, Cindy was up at the hospital. And both of my sons, Jonathan and David, were up there. And Cindy said, I'm going to pray. If y'all want to pray, you can. If you don't, you can leave. But I'm praying. And Jonathan fell on his knees next to my bed. And they started praying because they didn't know where else to turn. They only had one place to turn to. And that was the God of their strength. That's where they got their peace from. Well, within about a week, that chemotherapy started working and I started getting better. And I became more coherent. And I had joy in the middle of that hospital. I remember the nurses coming into our hospital room and saying, I just love coming in here because there's so much peace in this place. I remember one nurse saying, I'm going to come here first off before I go to any of my other patients because I've had some really tough ones this morning. And if I can come here, I'll start my day off right. Now, how did that happen? Man, I'm not strong, guys. I'm a wimp when it comes to being sick. But I was extremely touched by the Spirit of God. You guys were praying for me consistently. There were people all over the United States that were praying for me. And I stayed there for, I don't know how long, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. And they sent me home. And I got on a regimen of chemotherapy. And we went up to Methodist Hospital every week and for once or twice a week. I can't remember. And for about 3 hours, they would infused me with heavy doses of chemotherapy. And the lymphoma started to disappear. And after several months, they said it was all gone. I went and they have a bell that you ring outside the infusion therapy center. And we rang the bell and said, I finished and it's all done with. And God had just kept us through the whole thing. And I had a joy, and I had a peace in that. Now, I wasn't perfect all the time. There was times I was so sick that I didn't want to talk to anybody. But overall, there was a peace in our lives, and there was a joy in our lives. We took a vacation. We decided to go to my favorite place in the world, Colorado. And we happened to hit there just when all of the aspens were turning. And they were all gold, and the mountains were just beautiful, and I had such a tremendous time. I couldn't do much. I didn't have much strength, but I just looked, and I enjoyed every minute of it. But my back started hurting me when we were there, and it got worse and worse. And we got home, and it kept getting worse. And finally, I got my doctor to look at it, and they did, I can't remember if it was a CAT scan or what, but the lymphoma had come back, and it was all in my spine. And so a friend of ours that's a friend of, we know through Trace Diaz, said, I really want to encourage you to go to MD Anderson. So we went to MD Anderson and got a second opinion. And we happened to get the one man who has been in that department for almost 40 years. He's one of the best well-known doctors concerning lymphoma and myeloma that there is. And he started me on a completely different therapy than they had done before. And I went through the chemotherapy again, the same thing for several months. And I became in remission. But he said, you know what? You have had a recurrence of this cancer. We really need to do stem cell therapy on you. And I said, okay. And what that is they, for me, they took stem cells out of my blood. They put them in a freezer. Then they put me in the hospital. And for 2 weeks, they gave me super doses of chemo where I could not walk if I wanted to. My wife thought I was dying. She was scared to death. I was so, so sick. But I had a peace in the middle of it. Now, on days when I couldn't talk, when I lost function of everything in my body, when they put diapers on me, I still had a peace in the middle of that. And it was from people praying and the gift of the Holy Ghost in my life. The gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. Dan came up. Oh, I was going to tell you. Cindy was up there crying out to the Lord one evening. She didn't know what to turn to. She said, Lord, I'm watching my husband die right before my eyes. And there's a couple of things that really minister to Cindy. One of them is a beautiful sunset. And the other is a cross. She loves crosses. We have a whole wall in our living room that's full of nothing but crosses. And so she looks out through the window, and I don't know if we're on the 10th floor, whatever floor we're on, and it's sunset time, and she sees the most beautiful sunset across the skyline of Houston. And the Lord spoke to her heart and said, I have got this. I'm in control. Then she looked over to the right-hand side, and I think it's St. Joseph Hospital, St. Luke's Hospital, has a huge cross and lights on the side of it. And we just happened to be in the room that you could see that perfectly. And that was a confirmation to her that God was in control. Dan came up to see me one day. He had to suit up in an outfit that he could come in completely covered from head to toe. They wouldn't let anybody in there because I was so immune compromised, because when they give you chemo, it kills everything. My platelet counts are supposed to be from 140,000 to 440,000. They went to zero. So I was extremely immune compromised. And Dan came up there the day that they were giving me my stem cells back inside me, day one of my new life. And he prayed for me. And I started to get better. After a couple of weeks, I was discharged from the hospital, but I had to stay within 15 miles of MD Anderson in case something happened. And after a couple of nights, I had to use a walker. I couldn't walk without a walker. Everything I had was gone. I just didn't have any strength left at all. But there was a peace in me, and there was a joy. Not a happiness. I wasn't giggling. I wasn't silly, but there was a joy that got me through that. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. And because I had to turn to God constantly. Moment by moment, I had to turn to Jesus Christ. Now, I have found out in my life now, since I feel so much better, I'm not turning to Jesus moment by moment until something happens and I realize. And I'm frustrated, and I realize that I'm not turning to Jesus. I got out of the hospital and fell down and have two compound fractures in my back because of it. Cindy had to rush me up there. I went back to MD Anderson, I don't know how many times, to the emergency room, 3 or 4 times. They admitted me back in. Over the next year, I had infusion after infusion of platelets, red blood cells. I went through it. This last year, in January, starting of January, most of you saw me looking like a clown with masking tape on my nose. They did 5 surgeries to cut cancer out of my nose from January until a couple of months ago. And I remember one time getting frustrated, just saying, I'm getting tired of this. And I called Dan up and I said, Dan, I'm just getting tired of this hospital stuff. I'm getting tired of them cutting on my face. But that didn't last very long because I had to turn to Jesus Christ. I had to turn to the Lord in those times. It was not happiness, but it was a supernatural joy that I had. Now, to me, this is one of the most important scriptures for me personally. This means a tremendous amount to me personally because it has been very much a part of my life for the last 4 or 5 years. It's in John, and you can just listen to me. This is the scripture that Pastor Dan put in the bulletin. And I'm going to start reading out of John 15, the 4th verse. And I want you to realize and pay attention to one word that keeps coming over and over in here. Jesus is speaking and he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Now listen, he said, you cannot bear fruit. What is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Joy. So he says, you can't bear fruit unless you do what? Abide. Okay. Abide in me. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he who bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So it sounds like you can abide and then you cannot abide. There are times that you can abide and times that you may not be abiding. What is abiding? What does that word speak? It sounds like resting. Just sitting there. Is it that easy to abide in Christ? You mean I don't have to fast? I don't have to pray for 6 hours a day to abide? I don't believe so. I believe it's as simple as turning your attention to Jesus Christ. Just turning your focus. You know, we can't focus on 2 things at one time unless you have ADD. Then you can focus on all kinds of things. I know. I resemble that remark. You can only focus on one thing at a time. You can focus on your problem or you can focus on Jesus. Now, you may go back and forth, and that's okay. But the more you practice abiding, what did he say? That I am the vine and you're just the branch. Where does the life of the fruit come from? It comes through the vine. It travels up that vine. You know, when they graft a different type of grape onto a vine, they'll cut a little notch into it and stick that in there and wrap it up or tape it up or tie it up or whatever. That little branch does not work to produce any fruit. In fact, there are little teeny microscopic type of hairs that come from the vine and grab hold of that grafted piece of branch and hold it into that vine. The Bible says that we were a wild olive branch, but we were grafted into the vine. So the life of God flows through the vine into the branch, which we are, and it produces fruit, and it will produce joy in your life. But that comes from abiding. Let's continue reading a little bit more. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, He is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Let me stop just for a minute and talk about his words abiding in us. Why that is so important. Because a lot of people, you know, say, I just don't get anything out of this when I read it. I just don't have time to read it. I don't like reading. There are different reasons why. Well, this thing, Scott and I were talking about this the other day, is chock full of promises to you. This is for you. This is full of promises for us to hold on to. Why wouldn't we want to read it? I mean, God is speaking to us. And all of a sudden, you read enough of this and you stay. I mean, you don't have to read chapters and chapters at a time. Every day, spend a few minutes with the Lord and read some verses and ask Him to reveal that to you. And think about that during the day. His Word is abiding in you. And the more you read it, the more the Word of God is inside you. And that is a tool that the Holy Spirit can use to bring alive in your life. I remember not too long ago, Cindy and I had a lively discussion. And she was wrong. I know she was wrong. She just was not right. And I didn't like the tone of her voice. And I was thinking about exactly what I'm going to tell her and how I'm going to tell her and why I was right. And I went back in the bedroom and I got quiet for a minute. And the Word was abiding in me. And the Word came up to me that says, I am supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. How much does Jesus pound on me for being wrong? Not very much. Sure not what I deserve. So I got quiet. I didn't say a word. And we hugged and apologized and everything was cool. That's because His Word was abiding in me. We abide in Christ by just focusing on Him. It's that easy. It's that simple. And that's where His joy. Now, you're going through a very difficult time in your life, especially if you're grieving. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, you think about that all the time. That's on your mind all the time. Or if you're in pain, your pain is all the time. You can't get rid of that pain. But you can abide in Christ, and you can turn to Christ, and you can focus on Christ, and there can be an abiding joy in you. Yeah, the pain may come back, and you may think about that pain, but then you go back, and you abide in Jesus Christ, and you rest in Him. In that place of rest, you and I can experience that joy. Does it mean the problems are going to go away? No. Now, sometimes God will deliver us out of our problems, right? God will help us many times. We pray by faith and ask God for healing. We pray by faith and ask God to meet all of our needs. We trust Him to do that. But there are times it doesn't happen. What's going to take us through the rest of our lives is this abiding presence of Jesus. And guys, it takes knowing Him and walking with Him. Not just crying out when you're hurting just every once in a while, but it's a continual life. It's getting to know the lover of your soul, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave His life that you could have eternal life. It takes getting to know Him. There's no work about it. You don't have to work to get to know someone, and especially someone who gave you the greatest gift that can ever be imagined, and we can't even comprehend how powerful the gift of eternal life is and salvation is. We should give Him that time in our days, in our weeks, in our life, to build that relationship. And the only thing that's going to happen is it's going to bring a joy in your life that won't come from any other place. Amen? Let's close in prayer. And I'm going to ask you, if you've been struggling in your life with joy, the lack of joy, you know, you may need to have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Yes, we are filled when we're born again, but I leak. I just need more of the Holy Spirit. I need, and it's basically abiding in Him. And maybe you need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. Dan is up here, and I'll be up here to pray for you. Maybe you haven't been where you need to be with Jesus Christ, and you know it. And you want to come closer. You want to develop a closer relationship with Him. We'd be happy to pray for you. If you're sick and you need prayer, Dan has oil, and according to Scripture, he will anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and we will believe that God will heal you. Whatever your needs are this morning, we want to pray for you. I'm going to close in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your promises for us that are so rich, and it's beyond anything that we really understand, Lord. Give us a desire to turn to you and abide in you all the time. Help us realize that when we're hurting and when we're struggling and when we're going through temptations and trials, that you're there for us to give us joy, to give us peace. Father, we don't act like nothing bad is happening. We don't walk in denial. But we walk in an awareness that you have overcome the world, Lord Jesus, and that you have given us a place with you that we can live our lives in a fullness that we would never know, Jesus, if it wasn't for you. I just pray that you'd work on our hearts this week and give us a desire to abide in you and walk with you, and you would draw us closer to you. And we'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.